Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 101 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very, very good. Wasn't there a program called Room 101?
Yes,
Where they dumped everything they didn't want.
It's hosted by Frank Skinner now. It's still, I think.
So why was that Room 101? Why did that become?
Is it a Big Brother thing? Isn't it 1984?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to check that out.
I think it is.
If you get sent to Room 101, You've had it. That's it.
You've had it. But
that's the way out. Okay.
Yeah, I watched that growing up as a kid. It's a good show, but it's still on. It's to kind of reformatted it a little bit.
Yeah.
As we,
I'm sure there's loads of things I'd like to stick in Room 101.
What would you chuck in there? I don't know. Should have thought it through.
Politics. We've got an election coming
tomorrow. The day this goes out is voting day, isn't it?
Yeah.
So by the time most people read this, you know, we'll be knee deep in a constitutional crisis. It's looking like another coalition, isn't it?
Loads of fun.
Yeah, good fun. We're on episode 101, so we no longer have to get all excited about reaching episode 100. It was good fun last week, wasn't it?
It was brilliant.
Recorded down at the Coffee Co.
Yeah. I wonder where we would do episode 200.
We'll have to see.
Top of the Eiffel Tower.
I'm thinking the White House. We'll see.
Yeah,
it was good fun. As mentioned last week, the next 10 episodes are going to be a slight break from the norm. Because, dear listeners, you're in for a treat. We're going to take you to the very core of what we do here, or what we're attempting to do. In that, we have a little book called Live in the Present, which Sean wrote, and Marie and I edited, and I designed a fair bit. Yeah. Well, I did design every page of it, actually. Which we're going to take you through each chapter over 10 weeks.
Yep.
And bring you bang into the present and change your lives in ways you
can't
imagine.
No, we're not. They are.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because the book has a health warning on the front, doesn't it?
Yeah. So read the disclaimer.
Yeah, read our disclaimer.
I don't know if there are any other self-help books that have disclaimers in. I was trying to be quite clever. Here we go. Disclaimer. It should be noted that there is no magic trick that will change your life for the better. That's a bit of a nudge at the secret, basically, that was.
Yeah.
It is only through consistent and persistent repetition of the theories taught within this book that you will achieve your aims. Now that we've cleared that up, let's get on with the job of finding true bliss for every living thing on Earth. Blimey.
That's pretty good, that, isn't it?
That's all right. Now, people may at home be saying, okay, well, I haven't got the book. How can I do this? I haven't got the book. Well, first of all, you don't need the book because we're going to take you through it in an audio kind of way.
Yep.
But no excuses. I have created a secret link, listeners, where you can get the book for free and read it on our website. Okay, so there's no excuse, basically. Yep. Listen very carefully, because I'm not going to put this link in the show notes, because we don't want to put it out there for everyone. It's just the guys that are listening to this. So if you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk/secret, not the secret, just secret, you'll find an embedded version of our book, which you can flick through and scroll through there.
Yeah.
No excuses. So
that's good.
That is a value of $7.99, the digital version. So
yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Not bad, eh?
Very good.
There's a bit of a process here, isn't there? We're trying to do things properly. There'll be a blog post as well on the website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, as usual in the show notes.
I think if we go back to that disclaimer a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go into loads of people's houses, and the shelves are full of books about self-help.
Like yours?
Yeah, I've got loads of them up. I've got thousands of books in the office here. And all of them, you'd learn loads from each of those books. The thing is that what happens is people buy the books expecting in some way, some magic kind of osmosis, that the knowledge in the book is going to pass within them and they're going to change their lives. And the bottom line is it doesn't happen like that. Mm. Unless you do the things that are written in a book, nothing happens. Yep. If you do the same things in the same way, you always get the same results. Definition of madness.
If insanity, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is that if you, particularly us, obviously, if you go through the steps that are in this book and you actually do them, you will change your life. Mm-hmm. But you have to be prepared to do the things to make the change.
And there's some hard work along the way. It's not
It's not easy. It's not easy.
Some of it's very tricky. Some people. If
you've embedded your behaviours over many years, then it can take quite an effort to.
Yeah, what were we saying the other week about how kids up to the age of 7 are really kind of malleable and plastic like Play-Doh, but once you get past that age, it's much harder for them to change. But it's not impossible, that's the important thing. Far from it, really.
Anybody at any age can change. Very often in schools, like analytical schools of psychology, they would say that once you get over about 65, you shouldn't really put anybody through therapy because it's kind of unfair because they're fixed. I don't believe any of that. I think that at any point, at any age, whether you're 70, 80, 90, you can change if you want to.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the trick, is you have to want to. And lots of people play with the idea of changing, of achieving, of being successful, but they play with it as a concept that they have no emotional commitment to making happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you make that emotional commitment, you can change anything you want to.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, well, one other thing quickly before we get started on the episode or the show is that this is going to eventually form part of a bigger course that we're hoping to create, aren't we? Or that we will create. A Live in the Present audio-video course. We need to have a crack at video at some point. This is going to be like a little introduction to each chapter.
Yep.
But you've got, like I say, you've got access to the book, you've got access to everything, really. So no excuses, folks.
Nope.
Now's the time. Have you been, by the way, Sean? You been up too much? Have you been away this week?
Yeah, I've been to Norfolk. Lovely.
I've never been over that part of the world.
Very flat.
Yeah.
Very flat.
But some good cycling.
Yeah.
Did you cycle?
No. it was amazing. The politics was incredible going across the countries as we went through different counties. There'd be big posters, and the thing that made me chuckle was that in fields there'd be enormous posters for UKIP that would have a picture of the local candidate who was standing, and virtually everyone for hundreds of miles had a Hitler moustache painted on it. People had gone along and painted it.
Fascist
moustache on it. Made me laugh.
I've never been over that part of the world. I've run a little trip myself. I've been off to Portugal.
Yeah.
Perhaps my last big stag do jaunt. All my pals are getting married quite rapidly now.
So you're running out of bachelors to...
So we'll start getting divorced, as we're joking around.
Have divorce parties.
Yeah, that's good fun.
I'm going to Ibiza for my divorce party.
We went to Albufeira, I think that's how you pronounce it, in the Algarve.
Yeah.
Which is actually quite a nice little town, I thought, apart from the bit that we frequented in the evening.
Yeah.
It was quite a nice, lovely part of the world.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but was it... sort of hen party, bachelor party, stag party.
It was pretty typical stag party. 15 of us, good bunch.
Was the area like that? Was it full of other parties doing
stuff? There were a lot of them going around.
Great.
Good fun. But back to it now. Back to work and feeling pretty refreshed and recharged.
That's good.
Okay, should we dive in?
Yeah.
Okay, so chapter one. Oh no, this is the introduction. So this is an introduction to Living in the Present. Chapter one will come next week. But first of all, the question to you has to be, Sean, why? Why live in the present?
Why do we do the book, I suppose? The book and the course came out of my need in working with clients, and then Ree would have the same experience of meeting people therapeutically that wanted to change. They wanted to go through the process of change. And change in the sense of life for them currently wasn't fulfilling, and they wanted to find a place of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? How do you affect change? And the process, doesn't matter what the issues of change are, but the process is pretty similar for everybody. There are certain things you have to do. You have to do certain things in certain ways to successfully change who you are to become what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
That begins with understanding how the mind-brain system works so that you can create what you want.
Well, we're going to build into the course, the bigger course we build, case studies, aren't we?
Yeah.
So where did your understanding of this stuff come from?
The book here starts with a phrase that was given to me by one of my teachers early on, which was, he said to me, "What you hold in your bindi will come to pass."
As
he
pointed his forehead.
No, this was a teacher, a life teacher. Yeah, And he was pointing at his forehead and saying, what you hold in your bindi will come to pass. Well, the bindi for him was the dot that's painted on the forehead, which represents the third eye, the Ajna chakra, the pituitary gland, depends which system you're looking at. But what he was saying to me was that the images and ideas and the expectations that you hold in your mind and your emotions, you will play out, you will become those things.
Yeah.
So that the issue would be, if you do wake up in the morning and you feel bad, and you feel bad about your day and bad about your life and bad about your work, that's the day you're going to have, because you're writing the script before you go there.
Right.
And the only difference between people who are amazingly happy and having a good time and people that are amazingly depressed and having a bad time is to do with how they use their mind brain.
Yep.
Because all of us create the world around of us by what we think and what we feel and what we do. And we have a choice about that. And that's quite an interesting thing when you work with people, because the idea that I've got a choice over my body, I wouldn't go out of here and if I wanted to turn right, let my feet turn left.
Mm-hmm.
I can even cope with the idea, don't think like that, think like this. Maybe I could work with that. But the reality, which is hard to grab, but once you've grabbed it, is absolutely life-changing, is I have a choice about how I feel. I don't have to feel anything.
Yep.
You know, it is a choice point. But being emotionally articulate enough to be aware of that and to be able to use that is the life-changer. That's mm-hmm. the big one.
Okay, yeah, and people may now at this point be saying, well, it's all right for you to say, sitting in your fancy office with your swish car out there, but you had a pretty tough upbringing, right?
Yeah.
So you made that choice at one point or another.
Yeah, I mean, my life, in a simplistic sense, was abused kid, left home at 15, sex, drugs, rock and roll, rehab, rebuild, and discovering about life and potential and where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, realising, this is what my teachers in the early days taught me, was I had a choice.
Yeah.
I have a choice. And anybody who's listening to this, and this is a big statement, anybody who's listening to this can become anything that they want to become if they do certain things in certain ways.
Yep.
And part of that means very often letting go of stuff. Which might mean letting go of people, letting go of situations, making changes that are quite, at the outset, feel quite devastating.
Mm-hmm. But and they may go against certain ways that we're told to do things, as in, like...
Yeah, everything, culture, education, mm-hmm. religion, family.
Yep.
The lot, you know. But how many people do we know who are actually living in a fulfilled space, who wake up in the morning with a smile on their face, going, woo, jump out of bed, rushing off to get on with their life because they feel so good about it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's how it should be.
Well, yeah, I mean, and to put it in terms which people may understand better, the book, and there are plenty of other books you can get on this subject as well, this philosophy is that it's kind of a... This is a way of dealing with either depression or anxiety at each end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why we use the phrase live in the present is because for anybody at any one time, like you and I sat in this office now, it's raining outside, mm-hmm. feels a bit wintry, although it's spring, but we're safe, we're secure,
yep.
nothing's hurting us, nothing's harming us, we're fine. The only way that there's going to be a problem in this room now is if one of us is either ruminating on unresolved emotional past and reliving it in the present, that creates a depressive world,
mm-hmm.
or projecting forward into futures that may never happen and living those in the present, that creates an anxious world. And if we're really clever, we do both and become anxious depressives.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which is what lots of people do. So the issue of being able to let go of the attachments to the past and stop worrying about the future allows us to actually be in our present.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in your present, then you can create what you want. You can't create what you want if you're living in the past or the future. You can only create it in the now,
mm-hmm.
which is why people don't change.
Okay, and you're pretty bullish on the issues of depression and perhaps more so anxiety being fairly large issues facing the human race at the moment, eh?
Huge, huge, huge. And I think that traditionally, and tradition is a good word because tradition actually means being connected to the past, but traditionally we repeat the same behaviours generation after generation. Yeah, but at the same time, we're fearful of what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that I've been talking to over the last few weeks have been saying to me, their fears of what's going to happen tomorrow at the election.
Yep.
Yeah, so people are scared about what's going to happen. They're scared for their jobs. They're scared that if the wrong person gets in, then their world will be ruined.
Mm.
Yeah, so we have people that for the last few weeks have been living next week.
Yep.
And what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for all sorts of reasons. I don't want to have too much of a pot shot at the secret, but how does what you talked about differ from the secret? You're a bit kind of...
Well, the thing is that the stuff that we're talking about, this idea that thoughts become things, we create our own world, what you hold in your bindi comes to pass, is knowledge which is thousands and thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. And it's not a case of did someone think it up or was it an invention? It's something that happens in the same way that if your bladder's full, you go to the loo, whatever your mind's full of comes out the other end. It's what happens. It's one of the laws of nature.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what you call it. Sometimes it's called karma. Sometimes it's called the law of attraction. Sometimes it's called the secret. It doesn't matter what it's been called. It doesn't matter where you get it from or who the teacher is that gives it to you. It doesn't belong to anybody. And Rhonda Byrne, in her series about the secret. I can't knock any of it, really. I mean, it's all good stuff. The only bit that I would get with it is that, and this is the issue that we talk about you have to do certain things and be persistent and consistent about what you're doing to affect real change in your life.
Yep.
It's what I call the ham sandwich issue. So you get the impression, a lot of people get the impression when they read The Secret, that they can sit in a chair in the middle of nowhere, close their eyes and focus and say, I will have a ham sandwich, I will have a ham sandwich, expecting it to drop out of the sky, and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You only get a ham sandwich if you get off your butt and you go and do it.
Yep, go buy all the ingredients.
You've got to earn the money to buy the ingredients to get the... You know, it's a series of things that have to happen, certain things in certain ways, to get the result that you want.
Yep.
Yeah, but the idea that... you and I are going to join hands and we're going to focus on tonight's lotto. We are going to win the lotto tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've got a 1 in 14 million chance, I think. Okay. Fabulous statistic was you've got more chance of being killed in the car going to get the lotto ticket than you have of winning the lotto. Wonderful statistic.
Yeah. But do it on your phone now, I think.
Maybe your phone will blow up.
That's the spirit. Yeah, but another key point to all of this stuff is that it's not always the end result that is the... I know we all dream of happiness and maybe the fast car or the big house or whatever, but the real joy is the process of getting there, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's not the destination, it's the journey.
That's right. And we do talk in the intro of the book, or you do, about the joy of learning and discovering new things.
And that should be a lifelong thing.
Yep.
We also know that with brains... that if you carry on learning, you get new brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep your brain young by learning new things. Yeah? Which is why kids' brains are growing like crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're learning, learning, learning. I mean, your little ones at the moment are like sponges. They're absorbing stuff. You know?
Yeah, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah.
And really annoying. No, you're good. Lovely. Yeah, that's something that people do admit. They would have heard of this before, but yeah. And the trouble is that if you do miss out or you don't appreciate that huge chunk, 90% of 99% of time where you're trying to get towards the goal, and by the time you get to the goal, you've not enjoyed it, and then you get there and you're kind of thinking, what next, aren't you?
It's the issue about not being in the present.
Yep.
The amount of people I work with who are at retirement are looking at me bewildered as they go through that retirement interview process that we do with people, and they're looking at me stunned, saying, what on earth was that all about? Where did it go? I'm 65. Where's my life gone? And feeling like they missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They missed it because they weren't living their life. They were living in the past, living in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the issue.
That's a real big one, isn't it? Because, yeah, people will work towards retirement, waiting, you know, ticking off years into the future. And then they get to retirement and it's like they've got 30 years ahead of them and they're not sure where they want to be or what they want to do.
Don't know who they are.
Mm. Maybe I'll be like that. Yeah, I don't want to be, but...
But I think that if you do the thing that are in this book,
mm-hmm.
you solve those problems.
Because
mm-hmm. the issue comes down to, you know, what do you want? What do you really, 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 really want? Because if you can answer that question...
Yep.
Then you can do it. When you say that to people, what do you really want? Most people will say, I want to be happy. And the law of attraction, you know, the Bindi issue, the way we create our world, is that's not good enough. You have to understand what happiness means, what colour it is, what it tastes like, what it looks like, what shape it is, you know, what it smells like. You have to know what you want to go and get it.
Yep.
Yeah? There was an awful joke back along when I was a kid, and there's a little boy praying, and he's got this funny deformed hand, and he puts his deformed hand, his real hand together, and he's praying, and he says, "Dear God, please make my hand like the other one." And then twang, he's got two deformed hands, yeah, because he didn't get the image right.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's the point. You have to be clear about what you want. Mm-hmm. When you have a clarity about what you want, then you can achieve what you want.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things that's come up over the podcasts and when we were asking for feedback is a few people came in, like Connie came in, a couple of other people came in and said, give me more self-help stuff, give me more self-help stuff. Well, this is raw. This is self-help from the ground up.
Yep.
If you want to help yourself and you want to change and you want to become what you want to be, do the steps that are in over the next 10 weeks. Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually complete it. And you will begin to get where you want to be. And if you carry on persistently and consistently throughout your life, you can achieve absolutely anything.
Yep.
Yeah? A man with one leg can run a marathon, can hop a marathon.
Sure.
People do marathons on wheelchairs. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like we can achieve anything if we focus, we have what we hold in our bindi, we hold the right images.
Right.
We can get there.
We have, towards the end of the introduction chapter in the book, we recommend a few kind of tools and things that people are going to need.
Yeah.
Or it can help them a lot. One of which is a journal.
Yeah. Vital.
Mm-hmm. Just to track progress, to write down ideas.
You keep
notes.
A journal all the time, do you?
I do, yeah. Perhaps not in the sense that for doing the course, I don't, but I keep a daily diary, yeah, of things I've gone. I use that just to, as a time machine, really, just to. So I worried about all the memories that I've just lost forever. You know, I wouldn't be able to remember. Without the journal, I wouldn't be able to really remember what I was doing 2 weeks ago. Without a supreme level of thought. So I can just flick back now and there. And it's amazing because I'll read through stuff I did 3 years ago.
When we were away in Norfolk, Robert popped up with that app that you have, Time Hop.
Yeah.
And said, look, a year ago and today.
Yeah. I use that every day, Time Hop as well.
Yeah.
But the journal in this sense is more a case of starting to work through your process, your issues. This isn't something that you have to share with anyone ever.
No. The journal is about this Living the Present programme.
Yep.
Yeah. So it starts off with, and this is the homework. If you go to the site and you read the introduction, the homework for this first bit before we start step one is, describe yourself as you see yourself now. Write a paragraph. How do you see yourself? Be honest with yourself. How do you see yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, socially? All those things. Write them down. How to give a complete 360-degree view of you, how you see yourself now.
Yeah.
Okay? And then, once you've done that and you've absorbed that, start to write a paragraph about the person that you'd like to become. What would all those things look like, all the things you just described, if you were the person that you would really like to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, financially, emotionally, status, whatever, spiritual, you know, whatever works for you, whatever you're going for.
Yep.
And then the third big paragraph, the third bit of writing is about, okay, if you were going to make the changes from how you see yourself now to how you'd like to be,
mm-hmm.
what are the changes that you'd have to make? What kinds of things are we looking at? Are they changes of a different body, different social group, maybe even a different family setting? Is it about creating educational needs and training? Is it about creating money and dosh? Is it about learning to meditate?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
And you might not get it right first time, or you might not even...
Yeah, and that doesn't matter, because if you keep moving forward, then you're going to learn.
Yep.
And if you take the wrong step, you learn and change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. We also have a handy little digital toolkit, which regular listeners will be aware of because we have a little time, don't we? But if you go to livingthepresent.co.uk, there's a few places on each page where you can enter your email and we'll send you, a link to download morning and evening meditation files.
Okay. Yeah.
relaxation and focus files, don't we? They're pretty key to
moving on. So, someone once asked me what the definition of success is, and after thinking about it, my definition of success is simply this. If you wake up with a smile on your face feeling good about the day you're going to have, and you go to bed with a smile on your face feeling good about the day you've just had, you're a pretty successful person. Because that's called happiness. And happiness is the key. You can't live in the present without being happy. You can't change what you have without being happy. Happiness is the driver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds a bit kind of schmaltzy. That song, you know, I'm so happy, you know, and that's great. You have to be in that space, that positive energy, to begin to positively create what you want. And sometimes that takes a bit of work at letting go of what has been.
Well, that leads us nicely on then, because that's the introduction sorted.
Yeah.
As a brief taster for what chapter one is, it's not an easy one, but it's a vital step. It is letting go, isn't it?
Yeah.
In brackets, forgiveness of others.
Yeah.
Which can be a tough step for folks.
But the vital beginning point. Vital.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the next chapter, so we'll leave it here for now, Sean.
Yep. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
We'll move on. We'll carry on with the podcast notes.
You're looking very serious.
Well, I am, yeah. I'm trying to figure this all out in my head, because this now won't be in the audio course, this bit. This is going to be part of the podcast episode.
Yeah.
So we'll do resource of the week. Have you got one?
I think the resource of the week is go and get a journal. Go and get yourself a journal, get yourself a pen or a pencil and a pencil sharpener, and start writing, because this journal is going to be the most important bit of material about you that you might ever write or use over these next 10 chapters.
Yeah, we call it 10 steps, 10 weeks, but it could take 10 months, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the things certainly that came out from when we were doing the courses all the time was that sometimes we'd expect someone to do something in a week, and it might take them a month.
Yep.
And that's okay. There's no time limits. It's about doing it.
Because if you're living in the present and you're doing it, you're in the right place, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, okay, that's your resource. Mine will be, I'll mention the book Secret Link again. So remember, you can get our book Live in the Present for free as a podcast listener, or you can access it for free. livingthepresent.co.uk/secrets. So don't tell your friends.
It's a secret.
Just between you and me. Only kidding. Next week, we're talking about forgiveness.
Yep.
And letting go, which will be fun. In the meantime, if you share this link with a pal, that would be cool.
Yep.
Spread the word, folks, spread the word. Livingthepresent.co.uk. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. We still have iTunes reviews, don't we? In fact,
we do.
I need to mention one, but I won't. I'll do it next week.
Okay.
We've had one in, which I will read out next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right, hope. You take it easy, Sean.
And you. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
See ya.